The Chris Burns Show, powered by Dynamic Money. Creating personal financial plans built for life.
Welcome. It is Sunday afternoon, and it's the Chris Burns Show. We're so excited to have you here. If you want to join the conversation, the number 404-872-0750. That's 1-800-972-8255. Today, I want to talk about something that I've seen so much coverage of recently, and I often say this whenever we talk about the show. The point of this show is not primarily just to discuss the headlines. It's not primarily just to discuss exactly what's going on across the world. It's how those things filter down to your life. But I think this issue really matters. It matters for the core idea of how are we going to emerge from the pandemic. And the question is this: should we be offended that American billionaires are up $434 billion since the start of the pandemic? Should we be offended by that as we look at over 40 million, or probably at least 40 million Americans out of work, as we look at 100,000 casualties now in that range from COVID? Should we be offended that these billionaires seem to be making more money? And you see this plot line playing out as people are saying, look, we have a wealth gap in America. The rich are just getting richer. The poor are just getting poorer. And that's only been intensified by COVID. And this is not okay. And to back that up, you see a lot of folks coming out and speaking very vocally about this. So we have a CNBC article that just came out describing this. Right on the heels of that, Bernie Sanders tweets out today, during the first 2 months of the pandemic, he says, quote, some Americans who lost poverty wage jobs are receiving $600 a week in extra unemployment benefits. Republican response, how outrageous. 630 billionaires made $434 billion in profits. Republican response, crickets. And then he just ends with, tax the rich. So that's Bernie's take on this. We just got to tax the rich. Now, let me put in a side note here. If you're someone who wants to have a substantive policy discussion about whether we should be taxing people more, that's perfectly fine. We can have that discussion. If you're someone that says, I'm concerned about the way that some of these companies are treating their workers, fine, let's have that discussion. But really what's going on here is this binary view of the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, the poor are being victimized, poor being everyone but billionaires in this case, because Bernie himself has his summer camp in Vermont, as we all know. He's a millionaire. He's not exactly hurting. So apparently everyone other than billionaires is being victimized by billionaires who are just smiling and diving into their Scrooge McDuck-like swimming pools full of gold coins while the rest of us are suffering. Should we be offended by this the way Bernie is? Or, hey, how about the way Joe Biden is? Joe Biden also tweeting out in the last few days. We've heard a lot from Joe Biden in the last few days. But he said this, I've said it before, I'll say it again. No company pulling in billions of dollars in profits should pay a lower tax rate than firefighters and teachers. It's time for Amazon to pay its fair share. And so he targets Amazon specifically, which has been the target of Bernie's wrath and ire for a long time. In fact, 2 years ago, Bernie actually introduced a bill that was simply the Stop Bezos Act. That's how much Bernie doesn't like Jeff Bezos and Amazon. And that crosses the aisle. President Trump regularly jumping on Jeff Bezos, talking about the Washington Post specifically, which Jeff Bezos owns, saying Jeff Bezos is worthless, etc. We've seen it on both sides, this attack on Jeff Bezos. So because Amazon has gotten so much coverage here, I think this is an important thing for us to talk about. Like, what's actually going on here? Is Jeff Bezos actually going into your house and going, I'm going to do everything I can to make you lose your job, and then whatever savings you have, I'm going to take it, put it under my mattress, and that's how I've added all this wealth. Is that what's going on? How is Jeff Bezos getting wealthier right now? We'll just use him as an example. And should you be offended by it? Because your answer to that question says a lot about what you believe about capitalism overall. And we get that when we read a little deeper into what Joe Biden is saying. He quotes an article that he's discussed in over the last few days, again, a CNBC article. And there's one quote especially that I think is important here. He says this, quote, the whole notion is, are you playing the game fairly, Biden said. What's the capitalist system all about? The capitalist system is about everyone dealing fairly and dealing straight up with the American people and with their employees end quote. So Biden says Amazon's not paying fairly. Now, this is interesting, the whole notion of are we playing the game fairly? Because is capitalism really about fairness? Is it fair, for instance, to be born the son of Joe Biden, to be Hunter Biden, who has been all over the news with all sorts of interesting behavior, right? Versus growing up, say, in the foster care system. Is that fair? No, it's not fair at all. But that's not what capitalism specifically is about. In fact, it's career politicians who are setting the rules of the game. Amazon actually had a response to Joe Biden I thought was fascinating. They said back to him, Joe Biden, on Twitter again, this is all in the last 2 days, we pay every cent owed. You spent 3 decades in the Senate, and you know that Congress wrote these tax laws to encourage companies to invest in the U.S. economy. We have 500,000 jobs with a minimum wage of $15 an hour across 40 states. Assume your complaints with the tax code, not with Amazon. Now, again, you may have a legitimate beef with the way Amazon treats its employees, for instance. You may have a problem with our tax system and say, you know what, we should be taxing the wealthy. Now, I will say this, when Bernie was running for office before he dropped out, when we released what he actually wanted to do with Medicare for All and waiving all debt, et cetera, waiving student debt, and all the programs he was looking at, when it was actually calculated what that would cost, even liberal economists says it doesn't matter how much you tax the rich. We can't pay for this through just taxation. So the concept of just tax the rich becomes a classic political game that we see over and over again of find the scapegoat. We've got to find something to attach onto that becomes the other, right? And that's what Joe Biden is doing when he's tweeting about this stuff. He's trying to create this feel of the other being the wealthy, billionaires, the ultra wealthy, Amazon, huge companies. They are the enemy. They are the ones profiting as the rest of us are struggling. They're the ones doing fantastic while the rest of us are going down right now. And so you need to elect me because I will deal with the other. And trust me, if we're intellectually honest, we've seen Republicans do this often as well. We create, it's a well-tested, long-term strategic political game to find an other and just start creating this binary anger against them. But let's actually dig into this for a second. Why? Because again, I think it has to do with what are we going to emerge with? What brand of capitalism are we actually going to walk out with after all this? Especially if we walk out saying, I can't believe, for instance, that Jeff Bezos' personal fortune's going up while all of us are struggling. He must be profiting from our distress. That's the message that's being sent. If you want to talk about that, the number again, 404-872-0750. Would love to hear your thoughts. My thought on this is here. If you look at Amazon as a company and where Jeff Bezos' wealth comes from, now his wealth comes from a number of places. He's the most wealthy man in the world. His wealth comes from a number of places, but the bulk of his wealth comes from Amazon specifically, right? Now we know that Amazon currently, as we sit today, they are up about a little over 12% right now. Okay, so they're up over 12% from the end of the bull market. So the moment that the bull market ended and the market overall tanked significantly, from there till now, Amazon is up over 12%. On the other hand, the S&P 500 currently still down about 14%. So here's my question. All the folks out there saying, I cannot believe that billionaires are doing better. I cannot believe that the rich are getting richer, etc., which is an interesting philosophical discussion. But all of those folks, how many of you have Amazon in your 401k? How many of you have Amazon in your investment holdings? Because I'm assuming if you're going to attack Jeff Bezos and say, this is awful, I can't believe they're becoming more wealthy, that also means you've called your financial planner and you've divested yourself of any Amazon holdings, right? And furthermore, you're not ordering Amazon to your house, right? You're not ordering packages through Amazon because you don't believe in what they do, because you think it's evil and they're profiting. Or is the reality that we have benefited greatly from this company and many companies? That it's not just about they're profiting while the rest of us are struggling. The reason that Amazon stock has gone up so significantly since the beginning of the crisis is because they're providing services that are essential in the midst of the crisis. And so, of course, their stock is going up. And that's why Jeff Bezos' personal fortune is going up right now. There are other very wealthy people who are losing insane amounts of money right now because the industries they are in are tanking right now. That is what capitalism is about. It's about supply and demand and competition. And it just happens to be that Amazon is a massive player in the world of e-commerce to an astounding degree. Even back in 2017, they accounted for almost half of digital spending. And even back in 2017, there were 4% of all retail U.S. sales. So what we see is Amazon actually has been a huge driver of commerce in the midst of the pandemic in a way that we could never have done 30, 40 years ago. We couldn't have continued to do business the way we do it if they didn't exist. So not only has the American economy benefited, but you and I have personally benefited because we've seen our 401ks in the midst of dropping, because so many Americans are carrying Amazon in their holdings, that is acting as a backstop to keep you from losing even more right now. Your personal wealth has benefited from owning Amazon, if you do. And many, many millions of Americans do. So before we jump on the train of saying the rich are just getting richer and they're just taking advantage of us, let's go a little bit deeper and talk about what's really going on. Why are these people getting wealthier? Who's not getting wealthier? And what do we do to recapture a vision of capitalism that's not about just blaming the other?
Looking for practical tips on how to manage money? Check out dynamicmoney.com for the latest blogs.
Hey, welcome back to the show again. The number, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 404-872-0750. And happy Memorial Day to so many, first of all, veterans out there that have sacrificed so much for this country. And certainly in memoriam to the countless family members, grandparents, parents, spouses, siblings, children that have sacrificed their lives because of their belief in this country. And I tell you what, every Memorial Day I sit and I think about my grandpa Frank, who was captured in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, was taken and put on a cattle car to go to a Nazi POW camp. They were bombed by the Allies because they thought it was supplies for the Germans. So they made them get out and lay in the snow on the frozen ground and make the letters POW. And they stopped bombing them. But he spent Christmas that year in a Nazi POW camp. And he was fortunate to make it out alive from that experience. My other grandfather fought in Iwo Jima and the Pacific Theater and some of the worst fighting there. And so I'm blessed that I have that example. I'm blessed that I have those men and their examples and the way they taught me and the stories they related to me when they were both still living, and just to see so many people still going out and fearlessly serving. Let me tell you what I don't think they're serving for. I don't think they're serving for a vision of capitalism that is primarily about everyone has a fair opportunity, that it's all fair. It's fair for everybody. Now, opportunity under the law, yes, we should have equality under the law. We should all have the same options available to us under the law in terms of how we are treated, in terms of our opportunities if we apply for a job or go to college or whatever. But when it comes to fairness overall, now we walk into socialist territory, the idea that everything should be fair, that we shouldn't have people that have way more money than other people, that's not okay. That we've got to level that playing field, right? And in some ways, of course, we want to look systemically at what's going on and make change, but it's very dangerous when we have so many leading folks out there saying, I can't believe Jeff Bezos would have increased his wealth so significantly in the midst of this pandemic when Americans are suffering, and it sets up this battle of all of us versus them, the other, those people, the billionaires. Okay, the billionaires that created, for instance, Amazon Prime. You know how many boxes are outside my door every single day? We've got about 10 boxes. Why? Because we're not going out shopping. We're not doing a lot of that because my wife has an immunodeficiency disorder, so we can't be out and about among people. But you know what? Amazon has allowed us to order in so many things we wouldn't have been able to have otherwise. 100 million Americans have Amazon Prime accounts, and we're going to say that they are the problem. No, the reason that Amazon is growing is because of you and me. It's our individual choices. It's us saying, you know what? We're happy they're providing this to us. And not only that, as I said before, they provided a backstop for so many 401ks out there. Again, we can have a substantive policy discussion all day long, but I'm tired of this binary viewpoint of the rich must be doing something, especially the ultra rich, to take advantage of the rest of us, when in reality, what they have done, if we're going to take Amazon as an example here, is created this incredible opportunity for us to get through the pandemic in a way we never would have been able to decades ago. And instead of saying, this is amazing, I can't believe we have the ability to order in all these things and to stay socially distanced, for instance, because we don't have to go out to get everything. Instead of saying that, we go, they are the enemy. They are the ones to be reviled. They are the ones that are in some way taking advantage of all of us. And that is problematic. Because if we walk out with that viewpoint, then it changes the whole concept of truly supply and demand and competition and what makes the American economy great. What makes our economy great has nothing to do with saying, hey, well, you should be fair and nobody should get too rich. That doesn't work.
Follow Chris Burns on Twitter, at CW Burns, for more.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Have any of you felt like, in the midst of all that is going on, what one caller who called in on a show I was a part of a few days ago, I got a guest host for Eric Erickson's show, and in the midst of doing that, we had a caller that came in, and this was his question, because I was talking about some similar things about, you know, how is the economy doing and how are we opening up and look at the wealth of the billionaires. We were discussing all these things and the caller came in and said this. He said, quote, listen, do you want to make money or do you want to save lives? And I've seen more than just this caller say that. Have you heard this recently? Do you want to make more money? Is that your primary goal or do you want to save lives? And what that infers when you hear that is basically what's more important to you. And it's obviously in a really pejorative way, but it's what's more important to you, the value of human life, right, through protecting folks from the coronavirus, or just making more money, just endlessly making more money like these billionaires. That's how it's phrased. And I think this is a massive issue for us because it creates what I would call a binary situation. It's the kind of question that says, hey, look, it's either one or the other, when we all know that's not actually reality. Reality is that we have to deal with the messiness of things, that as we open up, it's going to be messy. Because we have to balance both sides of this. We have to balance the reality of the virus and the fact that we just hit 100,000 deaths, which is a sobering and staggering thing to do. None of us expected that 6 months ago. None of us expected that. But at the same time going, holy cow, we have 40 million Americans at least out of work right now. Now the White House, one of the White House's economic advisors, just coming out and saying, this is Kevin Hassett, saying he believes the nation's unemployment rate could top 20% this month and go even higher next month and then start trending down, topping 20% unemployment. We were already above anything we've ever seen historically in terms of unemployment rates since we've been actually monitoring that. They were probably higher in the Great Depression, somewhere in the 25% range, but we are getting darn close to that. So balancing that tension is not binary. It's not just, do you want to protect against the virus or do you want the economy to come back? It's much messier than that. So my question to you is, do you think we're doing a good job balancing that? How are we doing with balancing that as a state? How are we as a country doing with balancing that desire to save lives, the desire that we don't see the coronavirus have far more victims, while at the same time saying our country, our economy, it matters that we can't stay like this for the long term, that it's crippling. The government can't just keep creating trillions and trillions of dollars in stimulus. You want to be a part of the show? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-972-8255. Again, what's more important? Do we make money or do we save lives? And I would say this, the answer is always, always messy. It's always somewhere in the middle. And here's why. You could say the same thing, and I've heard many people say this, and it's kind of an oversimplification perhaps, but it's helpful to think about. What about seatbelt laws, right? What about even just allowing people to go out and drive? How many lives have been saved in the last few months because we haven't had as many drivers on the road, so we haven't had accidents? When we go down the freeway at 75 miles an hour, we're just driving death traps, right? But we're okay with that as a country because we've said, you know what? We need people to have freedom of mobility. We have the right to that, the right to that freedom. And yet there's a risk that comes alongside that. And when we do see deadly accidents, we all go, that's awful and horrific. And yet we still allow it to take place. We don't legislate and say, nope, no one can drive. On the other hand, we do legislate that you've got to wear a seatbelt. So we found some sort of tension. We found some sort of middle ground here. Why do I have to wear a seatbelt? It's my life. If I want to drive 75 miles an hour and get in an accident and fly through the window and that's the end of my life, don't I have the right to do that? The government says no. No, you got to wear a seatbelt. And everybody in your car has to wear a seatbelt, right? Because there is the mix, the tension in the middle of going, we want to protect lives as much as possible, but we also have to keep the economy going. And the question becomes, for the, again, 40 million or so Americans who are unemployed, that doesn't even cover their spouses, doesn't even cover if their spouse isn't working, if the kids in the family, right? The number of Americans impacted who truly are going, I don't know what's going to happen to my retirement. I don't know how we make it economically. They are seeing their lives dramatically transformed, and many people are hurting deeply because of this. So where do we find that tension? Let's go to the phones. We have Cherry and Ella J. Cherry, thanks so much for calling the Chris Burns Show.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I hope you're enjoying the holiday. I'm calling because what you're talking about is this polarity that the media has created. And rather than take the high road and lead us, which you think of people like Walter Cronkite and that ilk of people who used to lead you, they didn't simply tell you what to think. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to monitor this, and we're going to show you examples of how people are succeeding. Otherwise, what's the point of the media? They have no point other than they want to destroy the economy because then they'll get their candidates elected. It's such a simple thing. People just don't want to look at the simplicity of it. And
well,
I think Cherry, we need to.
I would agree with you in the sense that the fact that this is an election year certainly plays into the coverage, right? I mean, how different would the coverage be if this was 2 years ago, say, this was happening?
Sure.
And the way the media is covering
it. It would be completely different. Yes,
right.
It would be very different, except they would still be blaming the people in power. Take, for example, our governor who took a bold step to lead. Oh, my goodness, the guy, if I ever get to meet him, I'm going to just shake his hand and thank him because very few people are willing to lead. And leading is critical. I don't care what you do. I retired after 40 years of teaching. I loved my career, saved like a dog all those years. We're surviving this because we lived under our means. And if people just don't get that message, they're going to be one incident away from crisis for their whole lives. And who needs to live with that stress? Not me. I mean,
you need to come work for me and you can just talk to all the young people that come in.
Okay,
we will just have them come
right.
sit down with you. That's a fantastic
one. Right.
Thank you so much for calling. It's a very good point. The only place really that I may disagree there is just saying that the media itself is not necessarily out to ruin the elections per se. The media is all about profit. I will tell you from having been in the media, it is not about, hey, we are now maybe for certain anchors, maybe for certain people in the media, there is an agenda that's saying, hey, we want this outcome. But the reality is, as many conservatives would say, the liberal media, have they profited from Trump being in office? Of course, because it gives them talking points every day. Right? I mean, in the end, all media outlets, conservative outlets, liberal outlets, it doesn't really matter. What they're looking for is you watching and advertisers coming in and them making more money and making more profit. Right? And so an election year already creates that. Add a pandemic and here we go. And strong opinions are all that really matters in that. There's very few people that are saying, you know what? What does it look like for us to actually come together and deal with the messiness of this? And that's what bothers me so much when we see tweets from folks like Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or on the other side from President Trump, when they're polarizing tweets, they're binary tweets, as our last caller said, that says basically you have this or this, it's this or that. When in reality, it's not, as one caller again a few days ago said, it's not just, hey, do you care more about making money or do you care about saving lives? Well, what person's going to say, you know, money? I don't care about lives. Human lives, not important to me. Very few people would ever say that. People don't believe that in general. There's very few people. People that do believe that are mostly locked up, right? That's a problem. That's a mental health disorder. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying, let's dive into the messiness of this and figure out, where is the line here? How do we do this? And I think the more the media plays into this narrative that's created of it's one or it's the other, that's where we really create problems long term, because that's not our actual reality. Point in case, the election coming up. There is a sincere concern about the election coming up. Why is there a concern? Because if we still have orders that keep us sheltering in place at that point, right, then how are we going to do the election? Are we going to come out in person? Are we going to do a mail-in election? There's a lot of questions. The president was tweeting about that in the last few days. There was a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal by the editors of the Wall Street Journal that basically said, we are in for a nightmare scenario if we try to have a mail-in election. Because think about, the last few elections have all been narrow victories, have all been incredibly close. In fact, last election, of course, President Trump losing the popular vote, while at the same time, winning the overall election because of the Electoral College and the way that's set up. How much messier is this going to get if suddenly everyone's mailing ballots in? You talk about controversy over hanging chads 20 years ago. We're talking major, major controversy. It's a nightmarish scenario. The only way we get through that, however, is having bipartisan lockdown support for a system that will work. And by bipartisan support, I mean literally Republicans are backing it up, Democrats are backing it up, and they are a solid wall saying this is how we're going to do it, because the electoral system in our country and having fair elections is more important to us than who wins that election. And all Americans should feel that way as we sit with Memorial Day tomorrow. As we think about the sacrifices, the untold numbers of lives that have been lost in defense of this concept of freedom, and the defense of this concept of a nonviolent transition of power, never has a country existed in the history of the world with the number of nonviolent transitions of power that we have had. To defend that is so much more important than any one candidate or than my party getting an edge. So we've got to figure this out, but it's messy. It's not binary. It's not simply, well, it's making money in the case of the pandemic, or it's saving people's lives. Because in the end, even to tie this full circle, go back to Amazon for a second, how many lives literally have been saved in our country because of services like Amazon that have allowed us to order remotely, have things brought to our houses, not have to go out, not have to be around other people, maintain social distancing? How many lives have been saved because of that? Because of just innovation in that world. And yet we want to make it binary because it's an election year, etc. But that's doing nothing for us in terms of advancing the actual capitalism, the true belief that in freedom and the messiness of freedom that we have so many ancestors who fought and died for.
Want more of Chris? Give him a follow on Twitter at CW Burns.
Welcome back. So it is Memorial Day, and this has been my tribute to Memorial Day. Basically, the idea that the American dream still exists. I see a disturbing amount of posts on social media from folks my age, from folks a lot older than me, from folks across the board that act as though the American dream has always been a farce. And then they point to problems historically that America has had. Well, let me break it to you. America's had a lot of problems historically. America has at points systemically created injustice. America's done a lot of things wrong, but you know what they also did? They created, as flawed people, as messed up as the founders were, just like we're messed up people, they were too. They created, therefore, a living document, a document that could be changed, a document that could be adapted as the world changed. And that document and that style of government is necessarily messy as all get out, friends. It is not clean. If you want a non-messy situation, great. We can have a totalitarian situation. Authoritarian rule is the least messy of rules. A friend of mine, a philosophy major in college, I remember him telling me that and saying, look, the best kind of government you could have in theory would be an absolute dictatorship. It's also the most dangerous. If you have a great person ruling, then you don't have all the bureaucracy. They just cut right through and do what they think they need to do. If you have a bad person ruling, then man, you are in trouble. And I see a lot of people saying we need to move more towards kind of this European socialistic structure, etc. We need to move more towards that style of governance. And I would say no. The whole purpose, the whole reason that so many people that you and I know, and then certainly family members spanning generations for many of us, have fought and died in wars or been wounded or come back changed or dealt with PTSD, etc. All the people in my family, and certainly I'm guessing in yours, that have experienced that, what did they do that for? If not for this concept that we keep striving towards of the American dream. And the American dream is not about simply saying, how do we make everything fair and save the most lives? The American dream is about stepping into the messiness, wading right into it, and then saying, you know what? What does it look like for us to get through this together? What does it look like to strike difficult balances and make hard decisions, but in the end, put country above our particular belief in one party or another, or one candidate or another, because that is so problematic. And as we come up to election season, I think there's no better time than Memorial Day for us to pause and go, yeah, this really matters. It matters more than this election. It matters more than this specific crisis that we're walking through, which is an unprecedented crisis. It matters more than that. Because what really matters is, do we believe that this concept of the American dream is still relevant in 2020 as much as it was back in 1776? Is it still true that you can build a company, that you can take a risk, that you can grow or fail? Is it still true that getting wealthy is not a bad thing? Especially if you're benefiting millions of Americans to do so. And again, we can have a robust discussion about what that looks like, but can we please move away from polarization of saying it's a bad thing that we've created these companies that are doing unbelievable, remarkable things for our country, that are saving lives, that are allowing us to continue to function in the midst of true, just horrific circumstances. And that's a result of the American dream. That's a result of this concept that we've seen so many fight and die for. So thank you for joining me on my my preaching through Memorial Day here. But it's been good to share it with you. I sincerely hope you and your family have a fantastic holiday together. And remember this, your future is so much more than money.